Blog Talk Radio.
What's actually going on? on today, God. We thank you for just being God all by yourself. We thank you for loving us, God. We thank you for embracing us, Father. We thank you for just always showing up in our lives, God. Even when we don't feel you, God, we know you are there, God. Lord, when we hear the birds chirping, Father, we see the rain that falls. Lord, we see the snow that comes, God. Hallelujah. We know that you are real, God. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And Lord, you said in our word, thou shalt confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So on today, I'm going to be coming from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, one of my favorite scriptures, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Hallelujah. Let me read that again. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope." Hallelujah. And the future. I love that portion of scripture because this is Jeremiah the prophet, and he was sending a letter to those who were enslaved because they were so disobedient to God. So God put them into exile to this king Nebuchadnezzar, who was so mean. So Jeremiah sent them a letter, and in the space and the place that they were in terms of being in captivity, he was saying, "I want you to be fruitful. I want you to have children. I want you to marry, but I don't want your faith and your hope to dwindle." And when I think about this time, he said also, pray for those oppressors. Pray for those people who are in leadership. Pray for the Babylonians. But what I have learned and when God started ministering to me about this portion of scripture, it reminds us of being where we are now, being in COVID. And it's something. Because when he said to pray for your leaders, we do pray for the government. We do pray. But let me tell you something. Can't nobody do nothing with Jesus. Do you hear me? Because he shut the whole nation down. I'm not saying that Jesus did it, but he allowed it. But let me tell you something. Even in the stillness of Jesus, you can still feel Jesus in the stillness of the earth. You can still feel him. And then some would say, "Well, did Jesus call it? Did God call this?" I don't know, but God does allow things to happen. But let me tell you something. I know I'm a king's kid. I know that I'm saved. I know I accept him as my savior. And you could just feel the presence of the Lord. But Jeremiah sent a letter to them who was in slavery. I feel like they're oppressed. Some of us feel like we are so oppressed and we're in slavery. In slavery to our homes. In slavery to a relationship. In slavery to our kids. We just sometimes feel we're enslaved to our job. Being in the community, when sometimes we just feel like people just copy oppressing us. But what I learned that when Jeremiah sent the letter and to the children of Israel, letting them know, hey, even though you may be oppressed, even though you may be under this COVID, don't you know that God knows the plans he has for your life? Don't you know that even in the midst of everything that's going on, God still has a purpose for you to be on this earth? He still has a plan for you. And no, we may not be able to, you know, do business as usual. But guess what? God do call you. You can't pick up the phone to encourage somebody. You can't pick up the phone and say, "Hey, sis, hey, bro, how you doing today? You know, do you need anything? I'll cash up anything. You get anything from the market." So Jeremiah was letting them know, in that place that you're in right now, don't allow the devil to take your mind. Don't allow the devil to get you to a point where you become so broken that you can't even think right. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. He told them, he said, "Listen, beware of those false prophets. Beware of those folks that are coming to you in God's name, because they ain't coming to you in God's name." So, and because he told them that, it just feels like we're in the same situation as them, being in slavery or being oppressed 100. I knew I could mentally, but I was just waiting. But see, I thought I put things into action because sometimes we can sit there and be angry with God because he didn't deliver us yet. But what did you do in the meantime? What did you do in the process? Because we sit there and want God to, hey, you get delivered. No, I worked it out. Like you work out your soul's salvation. I worked it out. So every day, even though I would walk around feeling numb, couldn't even feel my speech on some of the time, still walking and hello and saying hi to everybody, praying for everybody on the inside, I couldn't even feel my feet, y'all. It felt like my feet was numb. I couldn't even feel myself walking. But I said, Lord, I'm not going to take hour by hour like some folks say. I'm going to take second by second, then minute by minute, then hour by hour, then a week, then a month, then a year. Hallelujah. See, I took second by second, and I breathed. I inhaled and I exhaled. I inhaled and I exhaled because it was that deep. And for some of us, it is that deep, but we don't want to say anything because we put on this facade. Well, guess what? We all go through some stuff. But the key is wanting to be healed from that. And don't allow the enemy during this time of COVID that your mind, that he takes your mind. Because the enemy is running rapid for your mind. Stop listening to folks that you know ain't speaking Jesus. Stop listening to those folks that you know that's trying to give you a quick fix. But if you serve this guy, then everything will be all right. Jesus said that we're not exempt from suffering. We're going to go through suffering, tribulations, and trials. He did it when he walked this earth. He went through trials and tribulations. But let me tell you something. But see, he knows how to give a way of escape. Hallelujah. Because he has done that. His every word, he'll find a way of escape for you. You got to trust God. Hallelujah. Trust God. Trust God with everything. So I'm coming before you today because God has put that burden on my heart. You to be mend. God wants to mend those broken pieces back together again. Hallelujah. I thank y'all for the heart. Want to mend your lives back together again. Want to mend your mind. Want to mend your heart. Because, see, the enemy knows when he has. bother me because the things that we dream about for the little growing up on the inside, what happens when our plans don't turn out the way we thought they was going to turn out? God knows. He knows everything. But what I realize is that you got to forgive yourself when you've done something you know was wrong against God. See, God is in a place where he can give you second chances. See, man will condemn you or put you in hell. But God says you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So it don't matter what man say about you. You know how folk do you? The moment you say a curse, but the moment you say a word, I'm not saying that it's right, but the moment you say a word, folks want to condemn you. Oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. Oh, my boy, guess what? I am. Hallelujah, Jesus. Forgive me for my sins, Lord God. Hallelujah. He said, forgive your brother 70 times 70. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. See, men will condemn you, but God says you will listen. God is a forgiving God. That's why we tell my daughter, you know, sometimes she'll say, Mom, you think God is mad. I said, baby, God don't think how we think. His mind is not our mind. His ways is not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He don't think the way we think. Hallelujah, he's a forgiving God. Well, even though he's plenteous in mercy, he's so angry, don't mean that he won't ever get angry, but he don't think how we think. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I feel God's presence. I feel him in this place. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? He can pick you up. See, Jesus' arms is not too short to reach you. His arms ain't too short to reach you. Hallelujah. Even when you feel like, you know, it ain't over, because God say that it's over. People tell you all the time, it's over. You're like, hey, it ain't over. The God says that it's over. Hallelujah. Jesus, glory. It ain't over until God says that it's over. Hallelujah. Pick yourself up. Hallelujah. Even if you can't get up right now, start journaling some things, writing some things down. Well, Lord, I made a mistake. I just got married again, my second marriage, and I think this is going to shred too, Father. I'm embarrassed. Lord, who you embarrassed for? You ain't got nothing to be embarrassed about. Hallelujah. You see God. See, that's another thing. We so busy living for some other folk, so you can't live for nobody else. You can't live for nobody else. Because just whatever they tell you down, they go on to the next person. You gotta live for yourself. You gotta be a dreamer. Hallelujah. It don't matter what folks say, okay, if it failed, it failed. Lord God, hallelujah. God, forgive me, God. But this time, Father, heal me, God, from those two relationships that did not work, God. Hallelujah. See, man, it tear you down. Don't worry about man, because see, man will pigeonhole you and keep you in a hole. Keep his foot on your neck. I know I sound like my daddy now. Keep your foot on your neck. But don't you know, don't allow nobody to keep you in prison. Don't allow nobody to keep you bound because you worry about what they're going to say or what they're going to think and stuff don't work out. Some of us have a business, and the business may have failed. But guess what? Try to get reinvent yourself. You can reinvent yourself at 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, 80 years old. How about that? Reinvent yourself. Hallelujah. But don't let nobody dummy down what God has placed in your heart. And guess what? This time, I declare it, I decree it, and I know it's to be true, and it'll be true, and it's to be so. Don't you know that God will fix that thing, whatever it is that you got to reinvent, whatever it is that you got to get up and try it again? Whether it's your lifestyle, hallelujah, whether it's your way of thinking, hallelujah, whether it's your business, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me see, can I find my mom? Glory to God. Lord have mercy. Came and bring my mom, and she's going to read a portion of my book. Hallelujah.
Hello.
Mom,
yes.
Hi. Hey, Mom, you're ready.
Okay,
oh,
so you expect me to read after this?
Jesus, I know, Mom. Come on, girl.
Bless the name of the Lord.
The little
Jesus.
Girl in me.
Yes, the little girl in me. Jesus. This comes from Proverbs 31:29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That's Proverbs 31:29. The little girl in me, I wanted to be married. I had this thought for many years and just knew that one day God would bring the right man to me. When I think about how my attitude was before I married my husband, I felt so embarrassed. I would never have settled for any man who treated me the way he was treating me. I thought my tolerance level was a lot shorter, and I was too smart to let anyone treat me the way he did. No one could tell me, not my family, my friends, and not even God. All I wanted was to be married. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I was a woman who prayed night and day and worshiped the Lord with all my mind, heart, and soul. I was very strong spiritually, or so I thought, but I was still trying to hide on my own thing. I wasn't considering God's plan for me because I really didn't know it at the time. I did what I thought was right and believed that God would surely approve. Like many little girls, I had always dreamed about a fairy tale wedding and a happy marriage. I wanted to be married to someone who would love me unconditionally, someone who would honor and cherish our vows, someone who would love me as the Lord loves the church. I believe in marriage, for it is ordained by God. I didn't seek God for direction and ignored the voice of the Lord prior to entering into marriage. The Lord doesn't make mistakes, but we do. I should have waited on him and allowed him to give me what I needed. However, it seemed like the moment that I said I do, my life began to fall apart, bit by heartbreaking bit. I had promised to love, honor, cherish, and obey someone who was allowing himself to be used by the devil. Some other men were interested in you, and I wanted to see if I could get you first. His words cut into me like a knife. When I heard that, it seemed like he had never loved, nor did he even want to try to allow our love to grow. Sometimes it was as if I was married to the devil himself. He told me that he pursued me until I said I do, so that he would prove to himself and others that he was the better man or the alpha male. Unfortunately, by the time I learned all of this, it was too late. I was already in a marriage, not only for the wrong reasons, but also one that could never be successful. In order for a marriage to be successful, there must be three components: God, the bride, and the groom. My marriage consists of a bride and God, but a groom who was detached. One of the hardest things for me to accept was that my husband had used me as a pawn in his childish game. My life was one big game to him, and it did not matter that my feelings were involved. The promises that we had made to God in front of our families and friends did not make a bit of difference to him. As far as he was concerned, he had won the bet, the toss of the coin, the game, or whatever he wanted to call it, and that was all that mattered. Once I learned this, I suspected that our marriage did not stand a chance, but I still continued to try to make it work anyway because on the inside, I still hoped and believed that it would. I fasted and I prayed for him to change his mind and try to be the husband that he had promised God and me that he would be. I truly believed that God would fix it for me. Alas, some things were not meant to be fixed, and other things are. I am thankful that God gives us enough strength to hold on and hold out until it's time for a change. It's amazing at times when I feel so low and I turn right into a scripture that fits my situation. That really blows my mind. God always lets me know he's with me through my shattered times. When I read, "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused," says the Lord, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Isaiah 54, verses 6 through 7. May
Amen.
The Lord have blessed you in giving up his word. Amen.
Amen, Mom. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen. God is so good. Let me tell you, I want to commend my mom, because I know this was a hard thing, because my mom never did read my book. She got through a little bit. I don't even know, think she got through that, because, see, my mom didn't know everything that was going on. So I was one of the ones who was hiding from my brokenness. Hallelujah. Hiding from my brokenness. So my family, they, but you know what? You eat, and I know me and Tina works my job. We always say that our kids can't hide nothing from us. And even though we do be knowing, but let me tell you something. My mom knew something, but she didn't know it was that bad because I hid it. I hid it. Then I worked at the office where I formerly was, and she started saying some things, but I hid my brokenness. But let me tell you something. When I wrote that book about the little girl in me, because the little girl on the inside, when we have dreams, and you know how you want your fairy tale life to be, it even, we have to even be a relationship, but it could just be because you want this beautiful job or this beautiful house or this beautiful car, or I'm supposed to be living here in this age, and I'm supposed to have five businesses and all of that stuff, and the chain of businesses and houses. But let me tell you something. Even though when you make a mistake in life, God is able to fix it for you. Like I said before, his arm is not too short when he can't reach to pick you up. Hallelujah. So I hid my brokenness from my mom and my family. But when I got to a place when I say, God, let me tell you something. I need to be healed. See, I always say that. Some folks say, I'm just going to hide it and bury it. And I told my dad when I came back home, I said, listen, Dad, because he embraces it. Look, wipe your eyes. Wipe your eyes. Just wipe your eyes. You know, and just suck it up, I guess. But then I said, Dad, I said, let me cry and get it out. I said, because, and I just don't want to look at it if it was a relationship for you, but whatever it is in your life that you feel like you want healing for on today, so God can get your focus back where it should be. Hallelujah. I said, let me heal, Dad, because if I don't heal, it's like a rug, and when you're sweeping, you want to sweep that dirt underneath the rug, and then the pile gets higher and higher. 5 years later, the dirt can't hide no more, so now everybody see it. No, Dad, I need to heal. I need to handle my feelings right now. I said, so let me heal, Dad. Let me heal and let me get it out. I'm so happy that when I turned Dad back to my father's house, see, I just didn't return for my physical father, but I returned back to my spiritual father because, see, I was disobedient to God. I heard the voice of the Lord, and I was disobedient. You may have heard the voice of the Lord for a relationship. You may have heard the voice of the Lord for a house you were going to buy, or a car, or a business. He said, I want you to wait for 2 years before you purchase that property for your building, for your business, and you stepped out anyway. Whatever it is in life that you feel like you failed God or you were disobedient to God, don't you know God was going to see you do it before you even did it? That's why I love God. And not to take advantage of God. But I love him because he looked past our faults and he see our needs. Our need is for him to embrace us. Our need is for him to save us. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I commend my mom because she's able to read this book. But what she said to me, she's all about ministry, child. She said to me, look, she said, I remove my emotions when I'm reading this part of the book because I never read this before. And I never knew all this stuff was happening to my child. Because you know, honey, you don't mess with a lion's cub. Hallelujah, Jesus. Honey, God is so amazing how he built a woman. And men, when you start messing with your kids, hallelujah, but I'm telling you on today, so whatever it is God revealed to me, it's a focus that the enemy is after. Don't allow the enemy to take your focus off of God. That's what Jeremiah was telling the people who was enslaved. He said, because guess what? It ain't going to last always. My kids will tell you, some things in life, Maya and Michael Slayman saying, it's not going to be like this all the time. It's not going to be like this always. Guess what? And that's what Jeremiah was trying to tell the children of Israel. It's not going to be like this at all times. Right now, you may feel like you were slaving. Right now, you may feel like you were enslaved to your emotions. Hallelujah, because sometimes, God, we be enslaved to our emotions. We out let our emotions dictate how our day is going to be. I'm mean today. I want to be mad. No. Wake up and say, God, even though I want to be angry, I can't be angry right now. I can't be angry. When you allow bitterness to fester, it ruins your whole day. It ruins everything about you. Then we be so angry with God because our life can go a certain way. Our children's life can go a certain way. But let me tell you, when you train up a child the way he should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. You got to keep speaking life to your kids. Even if you don't have no children, you got to keep speaking life into the youth department. You got to speak life into the youth that you minister during the day or you. Every time you talk, when my boy ass come, I tell my children, let me tell you. So I ask God to heal me from my bitterness. Heal me from that broken place. Because sometimes you can be so bitter until you say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to love again. You can be so bitter sometimes for losing a loved one and say, I don't want to love like that again, God. No, allow God to message to heal you, to love you. But we burn up that depressed state on today, the suicidal thoughts you may be having. Because every time We love you, God. We adore you, Father. We embrace your love today, God. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Oh, hallelujah. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for your son Jesus dying across our sins that we may have everlasting life. He said, if I were thou shalt confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus. Jesus. I see you all next week. God bless you.
Before you come on,